John chapter 21, if you would. I'm glad to be here this morning. Before I read the scripture, I'd like to take a few moments and say thank you. Last month, was Pastor Appreciation Month, and folks did so many kind and wonderful things and cards, and I appreciate that so much. Lovely words. I remember, what was it, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, when somebody came by me and just beautiful remarks, appreciate. And I just count that a great honor to be a part of your life. And it's a marvelous privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit. And my boys are upset with me right now because they want me to sit down on that dumb bench back there. I feel better standing here. This thing is solid. Okay, it doesn't move very easy. And praise the Lord. Also, I want to say thank you for so many helpful things that have taken place. Rides up to Harlan. That's been a privilege and a pleasure. Though I had a couple of mornings this week, was really tough. As most of you know, I'm on dialysis now, which means I can't clean my own blood. Somebody else has to do it. But isn't that what Jesus did? Hey, man, I mean, think about it. We're born in sin. We inherit that, by the way, through our blood and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord he shed his for us. What a deep prospect we have. Amen. It is good to have all those things take place. And I understand we had a great chaplain's conference. I got over to one meal. They had fried chicken. How many like fried chicken? Okay. There might be some here tonight. I have no idea. But I hope you'll be here tonight, and we'll just have a great time of fellowship. But it's good to get around. By the way, am I sounding okay? My ears are so goofed up. I don't know why. Probably listened to complaints all these years. I don't know what it is. But it feels like it's hollow inside. Leave that alone. Maybe I'm just experiencing what's always been. I don't know. I want to say thank you to my God. He's been so good to me. Matter of fact, this last month has been one of the most difficult of my life. And yet God's been faithful through that. It's been neat to see. I might talk about a couple of those things tonight as well. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I am going around with an anchor in my hands. I thought this thing weighed about 50 pounds. The other day they weighed it was only 5. And you might notice I wear something around my neck now. This is my new necklace. It tells me if I'm breathing or not. Except you got to put your finger in the dumb thing and wait about 15 seconds. Some of the things we have today is marvelous. Amen. I'm a miracle of batteries. I did have batteries for my heart for all two different ones. I got one here and one here. And of course, I got batteries running my microphone. I got batteries in my ears. And now I got batteries to breathe with. And so I'm a battery mess. Chapter 21 and verse 18, if you would, this morning. We haven't done this for a long time, but as we read this morning, would you stand with me? Beginning in verse number 18, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest not, or thou wouldest, excuse me. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is that disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We've had the privilege this week to meet with you, to meet with each other. I pray, O God, that your name might be glorified, that all that is said and done in this pulpit from this moment forward might be that which comes from you. We pray for your blessing, for your leadership, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, for without you, we are nothing. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. It was a week or so ago that Chad preached on a previous portion of this chapter, and I appreciated that message. By the way, if you missed Sunday school this morning, it was excellent. I appreciate it. I did get scared when he said I got 15 points to tell you at the end of my message. That scared me. By the way, that was a great list, and I think you ought to print that and put it somewhere. I don't know where, whatever. Unless you copied it from somebody, then you got to, you know what you got to do, that kind of stuff. Okay. By the way, one of the easiest things about preaching is you just read what everybody else said and say it over again. That was funny, folks. But think about it, that's really all you do. So we read the scripture, and we find out what God says, and we say it over again. And there's a reason for that, is because the Bible says, remember, remember, remember. And the problem is, we don't remember too well. So we need reminded over and over and over again. Well, here in John chapter number 21, we find that there are three, in my mind, three marvelous parts to this chapter. In the first portion of the chapter, we find the disciples, they go fishing. Jesus has died on the cross. He has arisen from the grave. And for some reason, I've never figured it out, they decide to go fishing. And we notice something interesting there. And that is, Jesus comes to them on the shore. And Jesus has fish and bread for them that's ready to eat. And they see him, and he says, cast your net on the other side. Because they hadn't caught anything yet. And so they cast the net on the other side. How many have gone fishing and you could catch it on one side, so you went to the other side? And I don't know about you, but I still couldn't catch anything. There's a reason for that, and some of you remember this. I can't remember to take my pole when I go fishing. And always remember the chair. Always remember something to sit on, right? But anyways, they saw him, and they recognized who he was. And I find that interesting, because it really wasn't until he spoke to them. And then we find they cast the net on the other side, and Peter jumps out of the boat, says he gird up his loins, and we find that he, it seems like what he did was drag a portion of that net to the land. Now, you know, fishing in many places, when they do it with a net, They will stretch it from somewhere on the shore, take the boat out, make a big circle, and when they get around to the other side, then they pull all that in. And so it seems as though Peter, as he saw Jesus, got excited, understood that net was full, and I think he began to drag some of that. And if I remember the number correctly, there was 153 fish. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a fishy tale to me. But the Bible tells us that. Then we find, and this is what Chad dealt with here a couple weeks ago, I believe, Jesus admonishing Peter to feed his sheep. Now, when God calls us sheep, I never have found that to be a compliment. Sheep are in some ways really stupid animals. Sheep need help desperately. They do not survive without some sort of leadership. I found this interesting. I learned it this week. I actually saw it take place down at my son's house. He has gone nuts. He raises sheep now. And he forgot to get sheep that had wool. These sheep are a type that grow hair. And they don't grow any wool. Anyways, I don't know what he's raising for other than to eat them, which is not going to happen very well with his daughter. But nonetheless, they need leadership. You know what I learned? One of the best leading things that God has given sheep is donkeys. Donkeys. Donkeys will protect them. It's interesting. And anyways, that's an interesting story. Anyway, Peter is admonished to feed his sheep. Why? Because we need help from God. We need him to give us life sustenance. I don't know about you, but I kind of like to eat. Amen? And I used to love ice cream. Oh, I forgot. I still do. I used to love chocolate, especially on ice cream. And I still do. Put a little bit of caramel on there as well. Amen? And then add a few church members to it, and it really tastes well. By the way, that means nuts. And so you got, you know, we like to eat, isn't that true? But it is also true, we like nourishment for our soul. Where do we get it? From the Word of God. So God told Peter, feed my sheep. That's what I trust I'm able to do from this place. Not only in the past, but in days in the future. And by the way, I plan on keeping on going to the future. And then we find that life and death is to God's glory. It's just, this astounds me as I look here in the Word of God. And notice what it says in verse 19. After verse 18, where it talks about him living basically to be an old man, it says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. I will say to you this, first of all, if you don't glorify God in your life, it's going to be pretty tough to glorify him in your death. Life and death are to God's glory. It's not for self, it's for him. In the great Sermon on the Mount, the Lord states the purpose of life. Think about this verse for a moment. In verse five, or chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men. Somebody has called your life a light. It's that which brightens the room you walk into. And let it so shine before men. In other words, people need to see that light. Now notice why, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's the purpose of life? That we might shine forth to bring glory to God. Amen? To bring glory to God. One of the most difficult places, this may sound astonishing to you, one of the most difficult places is to give glory to God when you are in leadership. Though you're trying to lead people that way, so often you get in the way. And that happens in our homes, it happens in our churches, it happens in our workplaces. But God wants us to give Him the glory. In verse 19, it says, death ought to bring glory to God. He is saying to him, this is what's going to happen to you. And you bring glory to God. About 34 years after this statement, Peter was crucified. Verse number 18 tells us about that. And notice what it says. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. In other words, in youth and throughout most of life, we're able to what? Gird up, pick up ourselves, and go forth. But then he says something else. He says, and when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee. What he's given us here is the description of how Peter would glorify God in his death. When the Romans would crucify somebody, they would have what some might call a yoke or a cross, and they would have to carry that through the city. And as they carried that through the city and being mocked by the people, they would come to the place of execution. And there at that point, he would no longer carry his cross. For then they would take his arms and stretch them out and bind them to the cross. And from that point to the place of crucifixion, he would not carry himself, but others would carry him. That's a picture of Jesus Christ, amen. But the Apostle Peter, in his death, he says, I will not accept that crucifixion. Many years later, there were those who kept the tradition, understood it, and wrote it down. And Peter said, I do not want to be hung like my Savior. I don't deserve it. And according to these ancient writers, he requested to be hung upside down. Considering himself not worthy to die as his Lord. As I look here in this verse in reference to John, I think it could be taken twofold. For we find that John says, well, what about this man? What about John? And the Lord Jesus Christ, I think, says some very important words in verse 22. Look at them. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? What's that to thee? So often we look at other folks and we think, what about them, Lord? What's that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, he admonished him to remain focused on the mission God had given him, to keep his eyes on that which God had for him. But I think there is another possibility to this. As we look here and he says, follow thou me. I find this to be very intimate. The Lord Jesus had several of the disciples, probably about six of them there at that fire. They had been given some fish and bread. And the Lord Jesus pulls Peter aside and says, feed my sheep. And then he tells him, gives a prediction of his future and how he would be glorifying God in his death. I look at this and I see Jesus and Peter together. I see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Peter. I see the Apostle Peter looking at and listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they had been taken aside for a private conversation. You and I, we have a wonderful privilege. And that is to have that beautiful conversation with our Lord. Through His Word and through prayer, He speaks to us and we speak to Him. And He is saying to him, stick with that. Stay with that. Don't change that. And I don't know about you, but that's what we need in our lives. Amen. And that is to stick with that with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take you back to John chapter 8. He talks about glorifying God in his death. But as I look back at chapter number 8 and verse 24, I see some wonderful words. He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. He's speaking to the Jews who did not believe him. And he's saying to them, ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Say, why is that important, preacher? It teaches us something as to why we will die and be separated from God. It's because we don't believe him. We don't believe him. There are literally millions of people in this world today that does not believe what God says in Genesis chapter 1. They think it's some kind of fairy tale. They think that it's not scientific. I don't know about you. I'm getting tired of people saying, well, the science says so. May I correct that just a moment from the Bible? Science, falsely so-called. You can do that if you want to. We'll have fun with that later. But the Lord teaches us something. We die because we don't believe him. And when we use the word death, we're talking about being separated from God for eternity. Now I ask you a question. If we're separated from God for eternity, where do you reckon that puts us? And why do we go there? Because we don't believe him. How do we get saved? How do we get saved? It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Philippian jailer, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. What do we need in life? Believe him. Believe him. Amen? Listen, my heart is weak. It's pumping at about 24%. Isn't that exciting? My kidneys are saying, good luck. My brain some days is turning off. You laugh at that. I have sleep apnea. Mine's a lot like most people. Mine is because my system just shuts down. Everything. I sometimes wonder if I have sleep apnea in the pulpit. I do know that a lot of God's people do at church. But I tell you, whatever I have lost, I have gained in Christ. For he is all in all. No complaints. Why? Because when I was 19, I put my trust first in Christ and sought to trust him ever since. And I believe that is the only way we bring glory to God, not through who we are, but who we trust. Amen. Who are you glorifying? Who are you glorifying? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you today for your goodness. We thank you that you are our strength, our hope. Lord, we thank you that even though we all experience great difficulties, we know that you did as well. And we are not worthy to even suffer the way you did. Lord God, I pray that if we cannot in this life bring glory to you by first of all receiving you as our Savior and by for living with you, for you, oh God, help us to go that way. Before I finish praying, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. By the way, we bow our heads out of humility to God. We close our eyes that we be focused on God, whom we cannot see. And so with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. Don't give me a frivolous answer. What if you died today? Would you bring glory to God by going into his presence or by leaving him forever, choosing a place called hell? Could you say, preacher, I know I would glorify God because I have accepted what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. Could you slip your hand up that I might see it? Just slip your hand up that I might see it. God bless you. Here's my other question. Would you like to know that? Would you like to know that you could glorify God by coming into his presence when you die? See, a preacher, death's a long ways away, not near as far as you think. Not near as far as you think. Those of us who are in this room that are older, it seems like it was yesterday. We were teenagers. We were little kids romping about. Could you say, I want to glorify God? Could you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. God bless you. To those of you who raise your hand, listen, if you're not saved, you can't bring glory to God. And I want to pray for you, and specifically with that, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, bless work in hearts. Do your work as only you can. Glorify yourself in hearts and lives, I pray in Christ's name.